Inshallah, today my khatira is going to be revolving around a certain issue that goes along, that goes around in many times in our lives. And subhanAllah, many of the times when I counsel people, when I sit down with people and just talk to them and their problems, one thing that I've seen very consistently is that a common complaint has been that I want to do things in my life, I want to move forward in life, but there are people in my life who are holding me back. And there are people in my life who don't want khair for me. They show me a face that they care for me, but behind the scenes I know that they don't care for me. There's hypocrisy in their life, and they're the ones who are holding me back. And they usually tell me that sometimes it's family, sometimes it's friends, sometimes it's community members, sometimes it's relatives, and the list just keeps on going on. Today, inshallah, I want to talk about this matter. First of all, is that we learn that this is not an issue that we see today. This is something that has been going on for a very long time. Surah Al-Furqan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about companionship. Allah says that there will be a person on the Day of Judgment. وَيَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ Allah is talking about that, remember, the day will come where the zalim will be chewing on his hand. Now, first of all, I want you to think about this. If you see any person sitting around and they're actually chewing on their hand, you can tell right away that there is something of great on their mind. There's something they're worried about. Allah is saying that on the Day of Judgment, you will see that zalim. He'll be chewing on his hand. يَعَضُ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ يَقُولُ And he will say, يَا لَيْتَنِ اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا That, and then he says, يَا وَيْلَتَ لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخِذْ فُلَانَ خَلِيلًا He says that I wish I were taking such and such person as friend, and I were not taking such and such person as my friend. لَقَدَ أَضَلَّنِي This person, he deceived me. He misguided me ba'da idh ja'ani after the dhikr and after the hidayah of Allah came to me, this person misguided me. Now, there's a story behind this, that there was one of the leaders of the Quraysh. It was his common practice that whenever he would come back from a journey, he would invite everyone to his home. He was a very well-off leader of the Quraysh. He was not a Muslim. So he invited Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was considered as a leader of the community, so he invited him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him that I will take your food. Now, one thing that you have to always remember, when it comes to the Arabs, they're very big on hospitality. And they get very offended. It's something that within the Arab world, it's part of the nature of the Arabs, that if you deny their hospitality, they can become very offensive. So what happened was that the Prophet ﷺ is telling him, I deny your hospitality, I will not take your food. The only condition I will take your food is, you recite La ilaha illallah. So this person, he says, well, you know, I have to, the Prophet has to have food for me. So he says, okay, ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. He gave in, he took his shahada. The next day, he met Umayyah bin Khalaf. Umayyah bin Khalaf said, that I heard you became a Muslim. I found out that you became Muslim. He says, yeah, I became a Muslim. The Prophet he asked me to, so I converted to Islam. He says that, are you coming under pressure? He goes, go back and denounce your Islam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so this person, this leader of the Quraysh, he went back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he denounced his Quraysh. And based on this, these ayat were revealed. Now, these ayat are generally often explained when we're talking about noble companionship. But here I want you to think about this. Let's try to understand the story here. You have people like Umayyah bin Khalaf. You have people like Abu Jahl. Deep down in their heart, they knew that there is some legitimacy with Islam. Abu Jahl was heard saying that I would convert to Islam, but my tribe and the tribe of Rasulullah ﷺ, they go head to head. We always are competing with each other. If I were to become a Muslim and I come under Rasulullah ﷺ and I accept Rasulullah ﷺ as my prophet, is as if my tribe is accepting defeat to the tribe of Rasulullah ﷺ, and because of this, I cannot do this. Because when you see the stories of Isra and Miraj, when you see the stories of Ashabul Kahf and so forth, when the Quraysh went to Medina and the Jewish community there said, go back and ask your prophet about these three questions. Who was Ashabul Kahf? Who was Dhul-Qarnayn? What is the Ruh? And Rasulullah ﷺ is able to give all these answers and so forth. When Rasulullah ﷺ is bringing the Quran and they're hearing the Quran, they're standing outside the house of Rasulullah ﷺ at night, hiding from each other, listening to the Quran and taking, you know, just enjoying the recitation of the Quran. Deep down inside, they knew that there is some legitimacy to Islam. But what they did was that in this case, they are the ones who are not moving forward, but they will not let anyone else go forward either. Even if there was a person who had some goodness in their heart, like this other leader of the Quraysh, even if there was someone who said that, you know what, let me give Islam a shot, let me just even listen about Islam, these were the people who were holding them back. And likewise, as I said earlier, there's always going to be people in our life who are going to always hold us back. That is why it is absolutely important. And we see from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that who are the people that he surrounded himself with? It was those people who helped him in regards to this dunya and regards to the akhirah. It was people like the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that helped him in his cause. It was people who did not even believe in Allah who helped in the cause of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like his uncle Abu Talib. So the point I'm trying to make is that a lot of times we surround ourselves with people who hold us back in regards to our dunya, in regards to our spirituality, in regards to any other thing in life, they will hold us back. And what we have a problem with is that we cannot let go. We usually have to sever and we have to move forward. That's the only way you'll be able to move forward and you're going to find some happiness in your heart. I'm going to finish on this, inshallah. Let me give you an example of a tree. See, in the Quran, often Allah gives the example of a tree. That's why I'm going to give you the example of a tree. You know when people come for landscaping and they come and they want to plant a tree, usually that tree is in a flower pot. You've seen that, right? Yes or no? When they're about to plant a tree, that tree is in a flower pot, right? Yes or no? Now that seed of a tree, think about it. You put it into the flower pot and it begins to grow. But can that seed of a tree, can it reach its fullest potential if it's going to remain its entire life in that flower pot? Can it reach its potential? It cannot reach its potential. Only when you take that seed out along with its roots and you take this tree out, which is a premature tree, you take that out and you put it into a ground, a full ground, then the roots can get deeper and that tree becomes stronger. Likewise, if that seed were to remain in that flower pot, it can never reach its fullest potential. Why? Because of its environment. Likewise, many times if we want to reach our fullest spiritual potential, our intellectual potential, our emotional potential, and any other potential that we want to achieve in our life, many times we have to change our environment. Just like that seed has to change its environment in order to become a full tree and reach its fullest potential. You cannot live in that same environment. Sometimes have the same friends that are holding you back, the same family members that are holding you back, and then you want to reach your potential. Sometimes it will not happen. I'm not saying go and cut off relationships. No, our deen is strictly against that either. But at the same time, you don't have to be used by other people. At the same time, you don't have to always be around them. People who make you feel inferior, listen to me very carefully. If someone makes you feel inferior, there's no need to be around them. If someone makes you feel worthless, you don't have to be around them. I don't care who it is, but you don't have to be around them. And if you have to be around those kind of people who will hurt you in the heart, who are going to destroy you internally, and they're going to have an effect on your mental state, your mental health state, then even if you have to be around them at the bare minimum, and then you cut off. Because this is where people are so much in pain internally. Why? Because of their surrounding. So this is why our deen has taught us, not only is it about noble companionship, but just like we find in the story of Abu Jahl and Umayyah bin Khalaf, do not be around those people who are going to always hold you back. There are people who don't want to move forward in life, and they cannot bear to see anyone move forward in life and become happy. So cut off from them, be more happy inside, and choose your friends wisely. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who have friends, who care for us, who are not toxic in our life, and who genuinely care for us, and who want the betterment of us. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
إن المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات والقانتين والقانتات والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما.